Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 420. I'm Dave Elliott, and I don't know what I'm going to do in episode 646. Let me talk about my favorite donuts. Today, Fantastic Four, 420, aka Volume 2, Number 4, from February 1997. The Heart of Darkness. Plot and pencils by Jim Lee. Script by Brandon Choi. Our story begins at dusk in the African nation of Wakanda, where the last surviving member of an expedition is being hunted by some creature. The expedition was looking for a mysterious object that fell out of the sky. Let me guess, it was an object that originally came from the stellar anomaly? The hunt doesn't last much longer. The last survivor comes face to face with this creepy reptilian creature. With claw-like hands, he slashes the guy, killing him. Meanwhile, Johnny Storm is out on the streets of New York, getting mobbed by fans, namely female fans. He gets chased by about a dozen women who love him. He says he could really get into this if they weren't all 14-year-old girls. That's the same reason I don't sleep with the listeners of this podcast. He says, "Flame on," and the girls freak out. And he flies away, and the girls are like, "Whoa, check out his bod. Please come back." So anyway, Johnny has seen an FF flare in the sky. Still using those damn flares in this universe. In 1997. It's the most impractical communication system imaginable. In addition to some teenage girls, Johnny is also being watched by a man in a New York Yankees cap, and he's holding a scrap of newspaper with a story about the FF moving into the Baxter Building. Next, here comes the biggest change to the FF so far in this Jim Lee version. The FF have a minivan, and this guy named Richie has been hired to be their driver. I guess this is good news for all the cab drivers in New York City. So right now, Richie is giving a ride to the Thing. They're driving aimlessly around Soho until finally, Ben finds what he's looking for. Alicia Masters! The big rock hands of his can't use the door handles, so he tells Richie to let him out. But Richie's not fast enough, so Ben, well, he rips a big hole in the van, and he gets out. This way, Jim Lee gets to show Ben tearing up automobiles without us feeling bad for some poor cab driver. Ben screams out, "Hey, Alicia, it's me!" We learn that he's been looking for her for over 2 weeks. But it's not Alicia. It's just some terrified young redheaded girl. But then she realizes who Ben is, and she calms down, and she starts to flirt with the rock monster. She says, "My place is just around the corner from here. Can I offer you a drink? Maybe you could come over and tell me why they call you the Thing." What? I can understand girls hitting on Johnny, but Ben? A rock monster? Oh, come on. And besides, Ben is, you know, not interested. He tells her he's gonna go. He sees the FF flare and he hops back in the mangled up car. Richie asks Ben, "How am I going to explain another car?"
"Just tell Reed that I've got a thing for convertibles," he replies.
"Or just tell Reed to buy a convertible already. Or a truck and have Ben sit in the back." Johnny arrives back at the Baxter Building. I like saying that, the Baxter Building. Such a better name than Four Fantastic Freedom Center, or whatever it was called. Johnny sees Sue standing alone on the roof, and she's wearing one of the weirdest, most elaborate headsets I've ever seen. This is the problem with Jim Lee sometimes. Everything has to be more complicated than it really needs to be. The headset looks silly. Johnny flames off, and he's wearing a red FF uniform. Now they've managed to work in Johnny's red FF uniform from the 1970s in the series. Sue asks what's the deal with the red outfit, and Johnny explains that Toy Biz, shameless product placement in a comic book, you don't see that often, Toy Biz can make both a Johnny Storm figure in a blue outfit and a Johnny Storm figure in a red outfit. Actually, the only Johnny Storm figure I think they ever made was one that was flamed on. Outfit doesn't matter. They head downstairs into the comm center, where Reed and Ben are hanging out. Reed tells Ben he'll work on developing special door handles so that Ben can use them. Or, Why not just buy a pickup truck or a convertible, idiot? Johnny asks Ben if he's had any luck looking for Cinderella, and Ben replies,
huh? I don't know what you're talking about.
Sounds like Ben wants to keep his private life on the down low, as he's done for years. Reed says he's been studying the data regarding their transformations, hoping to find a way to turn Ben back into a human. But he says he's found something unusual. He says that since the four of them have adapted and acclimated to their new powers so easily, it's as if they've always had those powers, which doesn't make sense. He says he's tracked an object that crashed to the Earth that came from the Stellar Anomaly. Yes, I called it. It's been four issues. Enough with the Stellar Anomaly. I wish I could find a Stellar Anomaly and crawl into it and die so I wouldn't have to read these damn comics anymore. Reed tracked the object to a location in Africa, in Wakanda, ruled by a guy named T'Challa, who has many business dealings with the Storm Foundation. Reed says that he and Sue are going to go to Wakanda and meet with him. And Ben asks, what about me? Reed tells Ben he has a date that night with Alicia Masters, who called while Ben was gone. Ben says he hopes Reed isn't kidding. Unfortunately, I don't think he is. A few hours later, Reed and Sue are in the new Fantastic Car, entering Wakandan airspace and getting led by some Wakandan jets to the nearby airport. Back in Manhattan, Ben is freaking out. He has a date with a girl. But, uh-oh, there's trouble. The security alarm goes off, and that guy in the Yankees cap has broken into the headquarters. Johnny and Ben ask him what he's doing, and he says he needs to meet with Reed, and they get a good look at him, and Ben seems to recognize him.
Holy cow, you? Ben says.
Back in Wakanda, Sue and Reed meet T'Challa, who starts by telling Sue,
it's pleasurable to see you again, Susan Storm. You are as beautiful as I remember.
Uh-oh, I think he wants to nail her too. Or maybe he already has. Reed doesn't say anything for the next page and a half, so I'm sure he's got all kinds of crazy ideas in his head about the past relationship between T'Challa and Sue. T'Challa mentions that the two expeditions that he sent to find that object that fell from the sky have both disappeared. So now he's going to join Sue and Reed in looking for it. And he starts putting on a superhero outfit and says that they will be joined by the warrior avatar of Wakanda, the Black Panther. He tells Sue and Reed to rest up for tomorrow, and he leaves. Sue and Reed sit there looking up at the moon, saying it's a beautiful night. They put their arms around each other, they start to kiss, and, well, if they want Franklin to be born by the 13th issue, Reed better get busy, right? So the next morning, T'Challa, Reed, Sue, and some Wakandan servants set off into the jungle. Reed takes some readings, and they seem to be getting close, when out jumps an angry, hungry dinosaur to attack the expedition. But it's actually not a dinosaur. Jim Lee was just playing a trick on us. When Reed grabs the dinosaur, we see it's only a tiny lizard, but it's not just any lizard. Reed says it has been exposed to high levels of cosmic radiation. And then they get attacked by the real source of their problems, a big talking lizard that slashes one of Black Panther's men in the back, and then another guy gets attacked. And then they see a small bomb on the ground, right at Sue and Reed's feet. Sue covers herself and Reed in a force field just before the bomb went off, and the force field rolls down the hill. They get back up, Black Panther joins them, and they look down in the valley and they see an airplane sitting by the river. It seems someone else is looking for the object that fell from space. And then they see it's Wyatt Wingfoot, and he's ordering his men to load this large object up in the back of the plane. So they rush off down the hill to stop them from getting away. But they set off a trap, and these four walls pop up out of the ground and start to surround Reed, Sue, and T'Challa. Then, these neuro-disruptors go off, knocking them all out. They get loaded up into the back of the plane, too, and Wyatt Wingfoot pilots the plane away. The next morning, they're on Latveria, at Castle Doom. Sue, Reed, and Black Panther wake up on a stone floor. The Black Panther wonders where they are and why they're there. A voice says he's going to tell them. Reed recognizes the voice. They look up and see Dr. Doom. He says, it is my hope that you enjoy your stay here, for none of you shall ever leave this place alive. Oddly enough, in 1997, that was also the slogan for the Econo Lodge. And that's it. The issue is over, to be continued next time. In the next issue, will Reed, Sue, and Black Panther make it out of Castle Doom alive? Who was that guy who broke into the Baxter building, and what does he want? Will Ben miss his date with Alicia? Will Johnny give in to temptation and start sleeping with his fans? Okay, I'm going to spoil that and say no. And whatever happened to Matthew Storm? Join me next time for issue 421, Heroes Reborn Continues. So if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.